too close to the sun sometimes.
That is also very Portland of us. Yeah. Very, it's also very Austin.
Portland is a big dream city, brother.
Austin is, people love to get together and talk about ideas.
Oh, God. We should really have a statue for this concept in Portland. Home of the most ideas that never happen.
Is it just like a person with a beanie and a notebook?
I think the demographics of the city are changing.
Okay.
They're shifting. We have a lot more agency-minded folks, creative agency and marketing agency. Like,
right.
We have people who are now project managers, so I think they get stuff done in a different way. But historically,
mm-hmm.
it was a lot of people being like, hey, I want to do this big, crazy thing, man. It's going to happen, but then not ever doing it. And it was a drive thing, I think, mostly.
Right.
Because doing stuff is actually, when you put it down on paper, difficult to do.
I wonder if it's this messaging we've got in the last, like, 10, 15 years where, like visualize your dream or whatever. Like, take that first step. And a lot of people confuse that first step with, like, actually doing it.
Well,
hey, if you want it to happen, you got to act like it's happening.
I mean, I think that that's part of it, because I think that most of the dreamers and doers here that I see are, like, lifestyle coaches, or the people who do it are kind of the, what I would categorize kindly as influence grifters or like lifestyle grifters.
Oh my gosh. So influencer horror film.
Yeah.
There we go.
There's some good, I think.
There's probably been.
There have been some good, I don't know if I've seen a straight up influencer horror film, but mm-hmm. There's definitely been some things moving towards
Ingrid
that.
Goes West.
Yeah.
It's kind of on that trajectory.
It's a little bit different, but like Cam. Is
okay,
a really interesting horror movie about a webcam performer.
Whoa.
And there's like a relationship you have with the people, mm-hmm. you know, coming to your stream and your site, and her like obsession with like having to keep numbers up, and then
whoa.
There's like, it's a very interesting movie that I recommend. You should check out.
And it does have eventually like murder.
Oh, it's horrifying.
Okay. The Yogurt Shop Murders.
Yes.
I felt actual dread and fear at the idea that
of frozen yogurt being something that we were obsessed with.
I can't believe it. So I don't know if you know this, but a month ago they found out who they think did it. Finally.
No.
And you said you've seen the documentary.
Yes.
There was new DNA that matched a serial killer who had killed like 9 other people in the United States, but in Georgia, Texas, North Carolina, I forget his name, but it's sounding pretty sure that it's this person.
Wow.
But the idea that you could be in your community.
Yeah.
And a serial killer is just passing through.
I mean, this
passing
is,
by.
This is very relatable to Oregon. Oregon and Washington have the highest concentration of serial killers in the United States.
As showcased in the film Mr. Brooks.
Mr. Brooks.
Which is, I was like, this is a lot of serial killers in one city.
Real quick, you're listening to X-Ray FM, KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM. And in Nehalem, Wheeler, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM. Streaming online everywhere at xray.fm. Radio is yours. You are listening to Kickstand Comedy, kicking off your weekend. I'm here with John. My name's Dylan. And Kickstand Comedy, we're a nonprofit comedy theater here in the beautiful serial killer laden state of Oregon in the town of Portland. If you want to see a show, take a comedy class, learn a little bit about what's going on in Portland comedy, check out kickstandcomedy.org. Got some classes coming up very soon, and some great shows coming up. A show that you might want to check out is Brain Rot, the Hollow Meme Show. Brain Rot is an amazing, hilarious show conceived by Thea, a very, very incredible comedian. What's scarier than the internet? Brain Rot turns your doom scroll into comedy IRL in this special spooky edition. Dress as your favorite internet memes, ooh, creators, or viral whatevers for the Chronically Online Costume Contest.
Love that idea.
Love a Chronically Online Costume Contest. From GRWM to Girl Dinner, improvisers turn your doom scroll into comedy IRL. That is Brain Rot, the Hollow Meme Show, tonight, 7 p.m. At Kickstand Comedy. Be prepared to lull. This is created and directed by Thea Crowley. Oh, a murderer's row lineup of improvisers. We got Blade Weedman.
Oh, yeah.
Breezy, John Taylor, Maddie Patrick, Matt Berger, Natalie Haddad, and Rami Olsen. It's a great crew.
I mean, John Taylor alone is scary enough.
Yeah.
And hilarious.
And currently flying back from Japan. So
oh, is that? Oh, my God. He was on his honeymoon. That's scary, too.
Yeah, flight, international flights.
I mean, just delays are scary,
oh,
you know?
Very terrifying. So, yeah, check out the Hollow Meme Show, the Brain Rot comedy show, Kickstand Comedy. That's one of the picks of the week. We'll talk about other comedy shows happening around town that we think you should check out here on Kickstand Comedy, kicking off your weekend. But getting back to Oregon and serial killers,
yeah,
you know, lots of serial killers.
The randomness of just, of like, and no wonder you can't find who the murderers are, because somebody just showed up.
Well, they don't, in terms of Oregon, there's some theories that it's not that it's random, is that it's like environmental. So like we have some pollutants in this part of the country that have helped damage mines in specific ways.
Interesting. Like, do you know, do you have an example?
Like some kind of like lead poisoning, asbestos, like the high, there's higher rates of certain,
wow,
in Washington and Oregon than most parts of the country. This was kind of one of the theories that I read about, like Ted Bundy and,
wow,
the, you know, the Midwest and in Milwaukee, Chicago, like that area, also a lot of serial killers. I just did something that is so psychically bad for me. I just like watched the entirety back to back of the John Wayne Gacy, the new Gacy show on Peacock.
Okay, okay.
It's like a Peacock original. I shouldn't have done it.
Why?
It's like empirically bad for me. I was just like listening to these accounts of him, you know, manipulating and murdering and assaulting all these like men and boys that he buried under his house. It's totally creepy. I was like, I had to do a lot of emails this week. I just put it on while I was emailing. It was unhealthy.
Oh, so that, see, I find that even more jarring to multitask while you're doing that.
I know.
And just to have
I'm
this
sick.
Horror, because it's almost like, it almost makes more sense. I mean, that's another genre we haven't even talked about, was like real life depictions of things,
yeah,
that are not fiction.
I mean, they live in the true crime, but then, and I think that's the ecosystem of true crime right now.
Right.
Is you get the podcast out, the podcast gets picked up. Now you have a 6-episode show.
Right.
Then we go back to a documentary about the thing.
I mean, certainly, I mean, I don't think this is going to happen, but like, certainly it doesn't like inspire people to commit more crimes.
Certainly that wouldn't be the case. We're not poisoning our, no, I think we're sick. I think it's only getting sicker. I think this is bad. But like, here's the thing. It's okay. Like, I think there is joy to be found in terror. I think that it's
healthy, exercise of a particular human fascination.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously get it. I fall into a category of people who are interested and curious about the macabre, about like the parameters of the human soul and mind, and I think it's fascinating. And I like, and I think what horror fans, and I don't want to speak for everyone, obviously, but I think it's this idea of feeling feelings that you don't normally feel in a somewhat more contained, safe way.
Okay.
So I don't want to be murdered, but I can get the feeling of what it might be like to be murdered. But it's a movie. It's,
I mean,
like
kind of like a roller coaster,
yeah,
right?
You're like 100%. It's very similar.
I don't want to fall off of a bridge.
Yeah. But I can get that sensation.
I'd like to fall off a bridge. knowing that I won't die.
Yes.
Yeah.
That, and
best
that,
of both worlds.
That's really, I think, the when you get down to the nuts and bolts of that, why we chase it. It has something to do with this. Consuming and in some ways and in some therapy mm-hmm. that's used where
for
it's
sure.
like exposure to the thing and in a safe way so that it doesn't activate you in the same way.
So I also teach improv classes at Kickstand. I have a new level one starting this Sunday.
Yeah, John's a great teacher.
Got two spots left if anybody's interested. We also have a, well, it is sold out, but we do have a ongoing free introduction
yes.
class. I think like two Saturdays every month.
Cool.
But that's tomorrow as well, but sold out. So don't show up. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
But check the website. And I have had students tell me that improv class was exposure therapy for being in a social setting for them.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really cool. Really fascinating, and I could actually see the like fear in their eyes when
yes.
we were doing things like name a color, you know, just like
yeah.
You know. And I what I think is really interesting about that is the different things that people are afraid of, like flying
mm-hmm.
or roller coasters, whatever. And for me, being in front of people has never been on that list.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine it. So that's all kind of tracks with the like, well, I don't want to be murdered.
Yeah.
I don't want to give a speech in front of 1,000 people. So I'll do the safe version of it.
Yeah. Well, and it's you know, with improv, you're kind of building up muscles that in certain ways. I mean, not dissimilar. Obviously, you're building up. I think with horror or with exposure therapy, you're building up tolerance.
Right.
I think with like an improv class, maybe there's some element of that depending on how you show up
in
the
who
class
you are,
and who
yeah.
you are. But you're also there's a lot more joy and a lot more you know, skill building, and no matter where you're coming from,
mm-hmm.
you know. And obviously, I'm the most biased person ever as a you know 20-year improviser, basically. But like. No matter who you are, you're going to get something out of an improv class. Whether
yeah.
it's like you want better public speaking or you're just looking to get a little bit sharper with ideation and idea generation
mm-hmm.
or you want better listening skills. And I don't think I get as much out of exposure to horror as I do out of exposure.
Oh, fair. Put that on the flyer.
Yeah, exactly. That's
yeah, I think the biggest misconception I hear from people who have never taken an improv class, and specifically improv, not just like any kind of creative
yeah.
class, is this idea that, it's like only for people who are already good at it.
100%.
And it's really interesting to me that it happens every single time. That people are like, oh, well, I wouldn't do that class.
I'm not funny.
Yeah, or I'm not interesting, or I'm not. And I was like, oh, well, that's why. I'm like, I'm not a ceramicist.
Yeah.
So I'm taking this ceramics class.
Well, and I'll pull the curtain back here a little bit about who excels in improv. Probably not the person who thinks they're the funniest person in the room.
Yes. In fact, they often distract and slow everybody down.
Yeah. It's like the people with the most interesting ideas are not always the loudest person. Shocking mm-hmm. to loud people everywhere, but that is across the board. The most interesting ideas are coming from the people who are able to like connect with how they see the world and feel, not recite quotes mm-hmm. from Family Guy loudly.
My God.
Yeah. Fair warning.
Yeah, that was interesting. So I did go to a cool event last night about the elk statue.
Yeah, please.
And
Missed that little guy.
I want to know more about this, not to completely do a 180, and let me know when we're
no,
ready
no.
to talk about the next.
This is great.
Halloween event. It was done by one of the parks organizations, and the one specifically involved in bringing it back, which is
nice.
Actively happening.
Yep.
But I have a question for you, Dylan, as a recent transplant to Portland who came here in October 2020. Almost, actually, today is my 5-year anniversary of being in Portland.
Congratulations.
I officially moved here 6 months after that, but I didn't know I was going to stay.
Yes.
What is the elk statue? Why did it go down? They did not talk about that last
night. That's fascinating.
Unless this is not funny enough.
No, it's just very funny that the biggest... they didn't want to touch the reason why it's not there.
Yeah.
But essentially, it
they
was...
They hinted at it.
Okay. The quiet part out loud is that during the social justice protests...
In 2020,
there was a lot of activity... The elk was a meeting point.
That's right. They were like, meet me at the elk.
Exactly.
Wear red carnation.
And so they were afraid of damage. And if you're a listener who knows more about the elk, text us at 971-220-KXRY. But my understanding was that it was like a preemptive action that the city took under Ted Wheeler. Both to take away the meeting point and also the fear that the elk was going to be damaged, but I don't know how truthful that is.
And where did it go?
And then they put it in cold storage. They put it under ice. It was living in some warehouse, essentially.
Okay.
And they said that they were going to bring it back out at some point, but it was, I forget the exact street, but it's the roundabout downtown.
Okay.
I forget what park it's next to. But it's like I want to say, I don't know, but it's
I want to say Mason,
near kind of the police department and mayor's office.
So they also did not mention that it still existed. They made it sound like the entire thing was gone, like,
well,
for good.
They took it away,
right?
But I it exists. They have it.
Okay. Interesting, because they're...
Release the elk.
Because there's a whole, like, they raised funds, they did a... they got, like, a new designer, a new architect to, like, reimagine the fountain.
Interesting.
Was it still a fountain?
Yes.
Okay. Because it's going to be a fountain again.
Yeah.
And it was a really interesting conversation, because it was a indigenous person of an indigenous past. It was a... white, very academic, scholarly person.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was a person who is a scholar on monuments and also a person of color, a black person. And the person who talked the most was the white academic person.
Yeah.
And the person that had the most interesting things to say but talked the least, to bring it back to the improv, was the black person.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, how funny, you know, like, how interesting the thing you just said about what a shocker, the person who has the least to say.
Yeah. Well,
is the most interesting, most relevant.
It sounds like that person who talked the most might have been the from the city, and the other two were like the experts.
Well, that person actually doesn't even live in Portland, which is even more hilarious to me. And he actually, I mean, he had a lot of great things to say. I'm not going to besmirch this person. But, It was to me like a microcosm of, but what was the, do people like the elk?
Yeah, so the elk,
only like
a long standing symbol of Portland.
Okay.
You know, like there, it was an important monument, that was like a touchstone to place in Portland. I'm sure there's a lot more history that I don't know as someone who's only been here since 2010.
It was originally it was gifted to the city by a wealthy person. Who passed away and wanted to have a water source for draft animals.
Oh, interesting.
And I thought that was really cool.
Man, Portland and its water. Portland is obsessed with keeping people hydrated.
Yeah, well, how so?
So, like, the Benson Bubblers all over town, that was another initiative of, like, if people are hydrated, they won't drink alcohol. So all those, like, bubblers that we have all over town.
Interesting.
Was another, like, person who wanted people to be hydrated. So, like, we
way ahead of its time.
I know. We're a wet city, baby.
It's just like there's a Nalgene statue.
Yeah, exactly. The Nalgene elk. Maybe that's what they're going to build. Thank you all. If you're still with us, if you're joining us, if you're waking up, if you're hitting the snooze, thank you for joining us here on X-Ray FM. We are Kickstand Comedy, kicking off your weekend, and we're going to hit some tunes, and we'll be back with you here in a minute. Mm-hmm.
Well, I take it for a while.
Oh, no. I'm okay.
I know you're okay, but it's my watch.
Sure.
Oh, thanks. The light in there, you just go right up that way. We'll move towards the village.
Right? I got the blue.
Interjection into the Lobby Cipher song. We don't know exactly where that came from.
Which is kind of fun.
It's kind of spooky. I wonder what was adding those pig noises to a beautiful song. It must be something spooky.
What if the streaming platforms were just randomly doing that?
Yeah.
In order to freak people out?
That would be awesome.
That would be a great trick.
Yeah. So if like you were listening to Spotify and then all of a sudden like whatever track you were listening to, there were just like horror sounds like interjected into. That's a great idea. That's actually Spotify. If you're listening, first of all, stop divest immediately and stop putting ice. Commercials on Spotify, but secondly, you should start integrating Halloween sounds into whatever.
Yeah, if you really want to scare your Spotify listeners, just put the sounds of AI military drones in the middle of their Wiz Khalifa song.
Yes, yes. But yeah, we are back here with Kickstand Comedy, kicking off your weekend. We've been talking spooky season. We've been talking elk statues. And we learned that John historically has not liked horror movies or has been too scared. Scream was the first movie that really terrified John, and while his family laughed and had fun. my initial horror movie. So I was a very big scaredy cat kid.
Okay,
for sure.
What do you mean?
I could not handle scary things.
Right. Okay.
But I was fascinated. I was curious about them. There was a Friday the 13th TV show that happened in like the late 80s, early 90s. Probably 89 or 90.
Really.
And each episode was kind of like, it wasn't about Jason each episode. It was
okay.
Like different horror, scary stuff. And I remember there was like a werewolf episode with silver bullets where there was blood and I got very scared.
Wow.
But around that time, we went to Mr. Movies, which was the local movie store that I would go to in the town I grew up in, Minnesota. And I rented a banger. And this means that it has to be probably 91 or 92.
Okay.
I rented a banger that you may know called An American Tale, Fievel Goes West.
Yes.
The sequel to American Tale.
Not an American Werewolf.
Not an American Werewolf in Tales.
Yeah.
The American Tale, which was the story of a group of very clearly Jewish-coded mice, which was one of the reasons my family very much enjoyed this movie. I think they might even just say that they're Jewish, but it doesn't matter. They emigrate to the land where the streets are paved with cheese, is what they hear. This is the sequel. This is Fievel Goes West. I have still to this day never seen the movie, because inside the case for Fievel Goes West was Alien 3.
Oh,
and
wow.
I was very
excited.
A misreturn. A fabled misreturn in my origin story as a horror fan.
Wow.
And so this must have been, I mean, Alien 3 is what, 90? I think it's 91.
Couldn't tell you.
Or 92. So I was probably like 10. And ran upstairs, put it on in secret. And the opening scene is an autopsy.
Oh my gosh.
And I couldn't handle it.
And not animated.
Yeah, it wasn't American Tale. It was and I immediately turned it off. I couldn't handle it. And then
wow.
I slowly, like, over the next day or two, amped myself back up to like watch the rest of the movie. And
wow.
to this day, I like have a very special place in my heart for Alien 3. It is a much maligned. Not as much maligned as Alien Resurrection, but Alien 3 is a very complicated history and a complicated relationship to the fan base of Aliens.
You know, that. So now when you watch it, do you have the thought of like, oh, it's so ridiculous that I was ever scared of this?
No, it's scary.
Okay.
There's a lot of terror, human terror in Alien 3. Because it's like Ripley lands on a prison planet. So it's a planet that is used as a prison. So it's only men. It's like this very scary, weird environment. And it was like originally David Fincher directing it. But it was a movie that went through production hell. The original script for it was like a William Gibson script, who's like a very awesome sci-fi mind that they didn't use, that was like a Cold War reactionary allegory. So there's a lot of different versions of it. But anyways, that was my first introduction really to horror in a tangible way. And it kind of was the seed that grew a mighty oak, if you will, of my life.
So after that experience, were you like actually interested in horror?
Yeah, I mean.
Or was there like a delay like years later?
I mean, my relationship to horror as a kid was, what would Mr. Movies let me rent?
So well, interesting, yeah.
At that point, I would go back, and I was there frequently enough that some of the clerks would let me rent R-rated movies, even though I was a child.
Okay.
And that, it's like what I could get away with was what I'd watch. And so,
was that your introduction also to trauma?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's the era, my like middle school to high school era, Toxic Avenger, Sergeant Kabuki Man, Killer Condom.
And it's worth noting
Nukem High.
That it's worth noting that Dylan and I did go see the new Toxic Avenger movie together at Cinemagic.
Yeah, at Cinemagic, and again, John knows the director, not to name drop.
But Dylan has been in one of the director's films. What scene was that?
It is. I am in the scene of I don't belong.
I don't feel at home in this world.
Anymore. Remember the name of the movie.
It's a long title.
I'm in the scene where someone gets hit by a bus, and me and Adam Posse are reacting to the bus.
I remember this scene now.
Another wonderful local comedian, Adam Posse. Yeah, we're centrally featured in that scene as a reaction shot.
I think the cover of the film has just you and
your
facial reaction.
Elijah Wood's character in the movie, like, resembled my glasses and haircut for a long time and mustache. So there was a lot of chiding.
That movie did have a very strong Portland identity to it, and I think that was definitely on purpose because Macon Blair, the director, loves Portland. He loves Mississippi Studios.
Filmed right outside my house. It was like filmed at the grocery outlet in Hollywood that was like right next to my
amazing
house. So they like closed off my street for it. And but yeah.
Amazing. But if you haven't seen the new Toxic Avenger movie directed by Macon Blair, just came out this year. I mean, it's made years ago, but
the original. This film.
It's so much fun. It's so funny. And it also is very updated, in a way that is appropriate, not pandering. It's not just pure nostalgia. It's great.
Yeah, it was a very fun movie going experience. If you can see it in the theaters, even better.
Mm-hmm.
Go see some movies in the theater.
Yeah,
we are so lucky to live in a city with so many amazing theaters.
So many. Hollywood Theater is so fantastic.
Laurelhurst, Cinema 21, Cinemagic, Living Room.
Clinton Street Theater.
Like, it really, we are in such a, it's an incredible position to be in the basking glow of so many amazing institutions.
Having spent 12 years in Austin, it does not hold a candle to Portland's theater scene.
Mm-hmm.
It's mostly Regal.
Repertory Cinema.
I mean, we do have Alamo Drafthouse, which is something I miss a lot.
Yeah, Alamo is great.
But it is expensive. It is so much fun to have good food.
Yes.
While you're watching a movie and then order another beer without leaving your seat.
And the Highball, a classic bar, and karaoke rooms above, and the mm-hmm. Highball. Great. You know, Austin's a lot of fun. A lot of people say it's weird. And that people have been keeping it weird. A lot of people say that they stole our city motto, keep Portland weird, which is, and I'm sorry to say this, if you believe that, you're so wrong.
Yeah, it started in Austin.
It totally started in Austin.
It started
we
in
ripped
Austin.
It off. I don't care how many times we have to repaint it on Dante's, we did not invent keep blank weird.
And Austin is like, hey, we invented serial killers. It's like, no, Oregon did that.
We did that. Stay out of the lane.
Is there... What is the closest Alamo Drafthouse equivalent in Portland?
I mean, Living Room, I think, is... Well, no. Here, I'll tell you what. Studio One.
Over on
Studio
Cesar
One,
Chavez.
On Powell.
Yes.
Is they're the closest model, except their menu is gigantic.
Okay.
I don't know how they do it.
And they'll bring the food to you.
They'll bring it to you.
Okay.
They'll try to upsell you on a couple steaks. There it is. It is a wild movie going experience at Studio One.
Do you? Because okay, and you enjoy it. You like it.
I like it. I like it because it's also it's a little bizarre, which is one thing that I like about
which
it. All the theaters are at Studio One here in Portland are themed by cities, And so it's like, great, I'm in New York City. And they have decor.
Oh, my gosh.
But it's like, like Vegas style.
Yeah, it's one of those theaters where you're all sitting on, like, love seats and couches. And, like, they raided all the thrift stores. And so I think there's a lot of hanky-panky that happens.
Oh, okay.
So I get a little scared sometimes in those theaters. But I like that it's a eccentric movie-going experience.
Okay, maybe go during the day.
Yeah.
Maybe make sure it's not too sexy.
Yeah, watch out for any solo riders.
Yeah, okay.
Hitting the theaters.
Having a party for one. Studio for one. Yeah.
No. We are in a city with a ton of great options to go see films. And there's almost no better experience than seeing horror films in a packed audience. It's like how...
It's probably less scary in a way. Because you are surrounded by people. And there's probably a lot of laughter too, because almost these movies all have comedy elements.
You need it. You need levity in order for the scares to be scary.
The push and pull.
100%. Elijah Wood, a very prominent horror advocate. He is a lover of horror. His company puts out a lot of great films and is responsible for a lot of really like innovative and cool horror things. So
he was fantastic in the new Toxic Avenger movie. Yeah. By the way, you are listening to X-Ray FM at 91.1 and 107.1 FM. You're here with Dylan and John.
Hello.
Is there anything else I need to mention?
No, you nailed it. That was great. I think it's about time for another recommendation of some comedy around town. We always like to highlight some shows. We have a great local comedy scene here in Portland, and we like to highlight a couple shows that we think are worth checking out. So, John, what's a show that folks should check out this
week? We did mention a Kickstand show. Should we talk about a show at Helium or at Curious that's also happening?
Yeah, I mean, we'll get to a bunch of them. But I know you had one.
Yeah, I do want to talk about, because it's Halloween. Happy Halloween, everyone.
Happy Halloween.
Tonight after the Brain Rot show at Kickstand Comedy at 8:30 p.m., there is a very special mosh pit. Heavy Metal Halloween.
So Mosh Pit, a heavy metal comedy show. It happens like quarterly. Tonight sounds like it's going to be a banger. Tell us more, John.
It's going to be fun. Bang your heads for the show that celebrates the unholy marriage of comedy and heavy metal. Yeah, that's pretty unholy. People of Portland, this is Mosh Pit. Start your Halloween crawl off right with the spookiest edition of Mosh Pit to date.
Wow.
Dress in your finest and bloodiest outfits. Okay, that's much different than the meme costume contest. Or not contest, but this one is a contest. Most metal costume. So whoever has the most metal.
And I'll say for the record, when they say something is metal, they aren't necessarily just meaning in the classical sense.
Right.
Like adopting dogs from a no kill or from a kill shelter would be metal.
That'd be very metal in today's standards.
They are very open to your interpretation of what is metal.
I also, two of my favorite local comedians will be there to debate the goriest and grisliest topics.
Yes.
In a live episode of the comedy podcast, What's More Metal? Dan Weber and Noriko Ott, love those guys, think they're so funny. And then closing it out will be Kickstand and Portland's metal improv team, Death Hammer, which is Justin Hines and Ryan King, I believe.
Yes.
The duo.
And several others.
And several others coming into play. I had the pleasure of seeing Death Hammer in Austin at my own festival. And it was so funny because nobody, if you see Justin Hines, he's this very tall, bearded man, and he looks like the most metal. He looks like James Hetfield's older brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like 80s James Hetfield. Yeah. Not. And they did this improv comedy show, Death Hammer, where they would encourage you to, you know,
growl
anytime something super metal happened. And then they proceeded to do some of the most tender, grounded, relationship-based scenes. And people would... Yeah, when they would have like these very tender moments in their marriage.
Very fun show.
yeah, it's great.
Awesome.
So, check that out. 8:30 p.m. tonight at Kickstand Comedy.
Mosh Pit Comedy. Awesome. Another show to check out. If you're looking for some stand-up, one of my favorite stand-ups, She so is good. Really like the grand dame of Oregon and Portland comedy. Susan Rice had another breakout year this year after her viral success on Don't Tell Comedy. Susan Rice recently featured in Vulture magazine. Her Don't Tell Comedy garnered over 10 million views. Susan has made appearances on ABC, NBC, HBO, Showtime, and Comedy Central. She moved to Los Angeles in 1986, brought television credits, and allowed her to open for comics like Seinfeld, Rich Schneider, Paula Poundstone, and Maria Bamford and Arsenio Hall. In the last 10 years, Rice has found her niche in fundraising and organizing charity events.
Wow.
Such as the first ever St. John's Comedy Festival held in her own neighborhood of North Portland.
Amazing.
Let's go. Local comedy. So go see Susan Rice. You will lose it.
She's so good.
So funny.
Saw her headline Comedy in the Park this summer.
Legend. She is doing 3 shows this weekend. Tonight at 7:30. Saturday at 6:15 and 8:30. So if you want to check out Susan, you can head over to Helium Comedy tonight or this weekend and have some larfs, because we need them. It's spooky season, like we said. You need some levity. You need some laughs.
I think one of my favorite things about Halloween is how much comedy is... It started with The Simpsons Treehouse of
Horror.
Treehouse of Terror? Or
Treehouse
horror?
Of Horror.
Horror, yes. Always so much fun.
Is that right? Sounds correct.
We should probably find out.
Treehouse of Horror.
It's Treehouse of Horror. And also genuinely, as a kid, scared of some of those episodes. Like, they didn't pull any punches on the blood and the psychological... imagery.
Yeah. No, they were very, very fun, very iconic. And yeah, and I mean, even like costumes, there's a lot of humor injected into Halloween. There's the pun costumes.
Oh, yeah.
There's, you know, what's going to be the popular Halloween costume this year? I think we're going to see a lot of... There was this series, a new Aliens series called Aliens Earth or something. And there's they find all these new specimens of different aliens, not just the alien we know and love.
Okay.
And one of them is just this eye that burrows its way into its host's head.
Wow.
And then it controls them. And I think we're going to see a lot of that.
Interesting.
Costume. The eyes, like someone who's being controlled by the eye alien.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, I don't think I have any other guesses. I don't think there's been any like breakthrough new, like mainstream IP.
There's the who were the 28 years later. Did you see the movie?
I have not.
There is a very aesthetically specific character that I think this next sequel is going to be all about.
Okay.
Jimmy. And I think we're going to see a lot of Jimmies this Halloween. That's a guess I have.
I feel like, I don't know why I'm thinking this, but I just have this like weird hunch that there's going to be a lot of Sabrina Carpenter
people. Yeah, I think that's
a good
guess.
Why I think that.
Yeah. I think that's a good look. I think the Jimmies are going to be blonde mullets and tracksuits.
Okay.
Like, that's what... If you see a blonde mullet
tracksuit... Also, if it's easy to pull off.
Yeah.
If it's something easy that you can, like, generally go to any target and pull off. Dylan, what is your costume? Do you have one?
Or do you
prefer to just show up?
I am always... Like, the last several years, I am... Because my time... to develop costumes has been low.
Right.
I've gone to support characters for couples costumes generally.
Right.
So this year I am essentially what is going to look like Marilyn Monroe. but it is in service of my partner's costume, which is an alien.
Amazing.
That is a very specific alien that is kidnapping Marilyn Monroe.
Okay. Basically. Is this from the series?
It is from a pinball machine called Attack
on
Mars.
Oh, that's so good.
So there's
I know exactly what you're talking about.
So the four-armed alien, and I'm the captive.
That is awesome. I love the idea. Is this because you're hosting the event?
I think it's inspired by my love of pinball and her love of pinball, and I think it's a fun costume to make, and then an easy supplementary support costume. I did not make my dress. I ordered it. I really should have tried it on. We'll see what
happens. We'll find out
today.
What happens.
Exactly.
By the way, did I see a video of you recently getting the high score of a pinball machine in Costco?
Yes.
Which is a brilliant idea.
There is currently, Costco is doing these home versions of pinball machines, so it's not the full version.
Okay.
They're like real machines.
And they're so there's like three-quarter size?
Yeah, three-quarter size.
Okay.
And they've been putting them out as demos in Costco's, and I did put the high score on one of them to my partner's true disdain of having to sit there while I played.
How long did that take?
Probably 15 minutes.
Oh, that's so funny.
And so there were a lot of kids waiting to play that couldn't. So it's not my proudest moment, but it was fun.
Yeah, I recognize that pinball machine. By the way, you should text us your Halloween.
Yeah, what are y'all gonna costumes. Be for Halloween? 971-220-KXRY 971-220-5979. What you gonna be for Halloween? What do you think are gonna be the popular Halloween?
Yes, that's a better question. What is your prediction? The winner will get 1,000. No, I'm just kidding. We have nothing for you.
Hey, we'll see. Maybe
we'll talk about
it.
Yeah,
we'll holler you out.
Kayla and I, my partner and I, are going to be we're going to two parties.
Nice.
So we're going to be a devil and angel.
Okay.
And then the next night we're going to switch.
I think that's fun.
So we've got, you know, all the stuff for that. I went to Target and got like angelic glitter for my face, which was fun to be. I've never like been in the makeup aisle before.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, this is a lot of options.
A lot of stuff.
It was kind of cool.
Yeah.
I was like, this is kind of fun. The other thing that we were just talking about costumes and intellectual property, I was curious about like what has been your all-time favorite costume that you think about every year. You're like, that was,
I mean, I peaked, and I've definitely talked about this on this show before in Halloween's past, but I peaked in probably like, I don't know, 2007,
yeah,
or 8. I went as Wild Thing Rick Vaughn.
Wow.
From Major League, and I like did the whole haircut, carved in the like,
you cut your hair,
cut my hair,
no wig.
I had the glasses with, you know, broken glasses.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like this Christmas tree mullety thing. And then I had like a full Cleveland baseball like uniform.
Amazing.
And a leather jacket that I cut the sleeves off of, and it said Wild Thing on the back.
It's amazing.
And it's by far my best costume ever. I will never rival it. I won every costume contest that year. And so I think part of my decline has been knowing that, feeling like I will never reach that high.
Sure, which is a very real thing.
Yeah.
Because you pull out all the stops.
Especially when you're a little younger than I am at this point in my life. Because like then I just went as like Teen Wolf for 4 years because
right.
I had a Letterman jacket and the and at different stages of turning,
right.
Like I was like, oh look, I've got hands. I'm just not fully turned into a werewolf, so I look like me. But
so as the years went on, you were like,
decline.
I'll do yeah. That's
less
really
and less.
My all time favorite was my partner at the time was extremely good at costumes and cosplay. And did Sailor Moon and like made a mold to cast a wand,
mm-hmm.
And painted it. And I don't know how they could have possibly done a better job of it.
Yeah.
And everyone was blown away by it immediately. I think they spent hundreds of dollars on it.
Sounds lit.
And we had the idea of what if I also win a Sailor Moon with no effort?
Oh, that's
and
fun.
I sharpied on like a white t-shirt. I had a floppy wand and the worst, like a $5 wig.
Yeah.
And I went as Failure Moon.
See, there's that fun costume.
We won all the couples competitions.
Yeah.
But my favorite part was just acting like I actually tried.
Yeah.
And standing next to my partner and being like, yeah, they look pretty good, huh? They did a pretty good job.
They did a good job.
You know, that was my favorite part.
Yeah.
Was the bit.
I I like that a lot. And I also, I think it is important, you know, like, costumes cost money. Like, doing them well.
And they're pretty wasteful.
Yeah, yeah, they are. But you know what? Let's go to Comic-Con this year, Sean. You and I, let's spend, I'm going to empty my bank account. I'm going to be...
What would we be?
I'm going to be a mech suit from Warhammer 40K.
I'm going to be a Korok leaf.
Yeah. We love a Korok leaf. It is funny. Like, I love seeing all the costumes.
Mm-hmm.
But I think my heart lives with a lot of effort using materials that you can get at a craft store.
Yes. The creativity... I feel like that's kind of the I feel like that's a very like Portland thing too, and a very like all this resistance I have to like technology and money and billionaires and AI, like how can I keep the human spirit alive?
Yeah.
With gumption.
With this costume.
And with this Korok leaf costume.
But there are a lot of good parties. I will be at the Ground Control Halloween party, as I am every year. I've been helping produce that party for too many years. It is the 13th Gigafright at Ground Control tonight. Free play on the games.
Awesome.
A great costume contest with great prizes. Some really wonderful sponsors. That's happening tonight at Ground Control Classic Arcade. Should be a lot of fun. Costume contest is sign-ups at 9. Contest at 9:30.
Amazing. I've never been to Ground Control.
Well, you should do it sometime.
I should check it out.
It's a lot of fun.
Has it moved locations?
It has. Several times.
Several times.
Been in this location now for... I'm going to say 15 years.
Okay.
With a year of renovations where it bopped over to a temporary spot across the street.
Okay. And so it's different than the elk statue. Those are two different things.
Yeah, the elk statue is not a
Ground Control.
Multi-level, multi-space classic arcade and bar.
What if it was, though?
It could be. You know, maybe that's what what did they say at the event you went to last night?
Well, they didn't say much about the new elk, but Dylan and I were joking before we went on air that I was thinking, what if the elk came back with, like, AI-powered tech? Like, you could ask the elk anything.
Elk, what should I eat here in Portland? Go to Voodoo Donut immediately. Stay there.
Carry around the pink box.
Yeah, we're heading.
It
there.
Would. We're it would. There. It would be. It would be like. It would just. Yeah, because I feel like there's like.
Get in line behind the ICE agents at Voodoo Donut. Wait your turn.
I feel like there are restaurant groups in Portland that are like becoming my enemy. Restaurant
yes.
and bar, and I won't say any.
No,
I won't besmirch.
Can't besmirch.
But like. That they're giving me less for more money, and they own like 10 bars, 10, you know.
Yeah, they're you know, businesses be scaling.
Yeah, yeah.
there's a lot of
Portland be gentrifying.
Yeah, and I think that I think there's something to scaling a local chain.
Sure.
I think you got to get your nut. You got to live your dream.
Sure. Things are getting more expensive.
But sometimes you just keep riding a good thing, and making that good thing better is also a smarter path.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we see a lot of expansion disasters.
Oh, yeah.
Across the country, but here in Portland, I think a decent amount. Yeah, I don't know. I also just have to temper my old man yells at clouds.
Yeah, that's true. That's
like
true.
Impulses where I'm like, a Nirvana themed bar. I never.
Like, are you referring to Nevermind?
We can't say it on air. I'm just like, I don't know that I can. It's just like,
I don't know. Also, I don't know if it is a.
I don't know that
it is not. It is not a Nirvana themed bar.
No, it is.
It is?
It is definitely...
I have seen no signs of that.
Well, they have little...
Other than the name.
Little babies in their jello shots, their blue jello shots.
Okay.
It's a strange way to honor...
Okay. Is that why there's a Penny Royal Tea?
Why? Polly, there's a parrot that wants a cracker there? No, I don't know. It's just these are me issues. Anytime sure. I'm a hater, it's a me issue. It's not a them issue.
I should reflect on this more, Dylan, because I am a aging person that still looks in the mirror and thinks they're 25.
Well, and I have
I have a lot of denial in this region. I say things that sound like they came from a man in the 1930s.
I don't know. I was just on a Zoom call this week with a 70-year-old guy in skinny jeans and a CBGB t-shirt, so I'm like, I'm doing all right.
That sounds like the boss from Shrill.
I was like, hey, get it, King. It's like this kind of rules.
Last thing I'll say about Halloween is has it come in waves in your life where, because I definitely had like a good 10 years where I was like, nah, Halloween's dumb.
I've never fallen out of love with Halloween.
Beautiful.
I will say this, like, go to Halloween events.
Yes.
Go, and not just parties. I'm saying like haunts, corn mazes, There are just so many cool events, especially in this community, that people are like putting time and money in. The Lone Fir, Friends of Lone Fir Cemetery do an amazing like Halloween
really?
Event most years. I don't know if they did it this year. It's a lot of money and energy.
Have you done a ghost tour, walking tour?
Yeah, so they do.
That would be cool.
Their Halloween walking tour was so amazing because they get community actors who are all really, really good creating monologues as ghosts of people in the cemetery.
Wow.
So you walk
amazing.
From grave to grave, and then they, in really like beautiful ways, tell the story of these souls who've passed.
Where are these gigs being posted?
I know. It's all like a labor of love. It's truly like they research the people and then lovingly put together these monologues about their life. And
wow.
It's like beautiful, and they're dressed up as ghosts of these people, and I love it. It was like one of the things that really made me fall in love with Portland when I moved here.
Okay, duly noted. So I feel like Dylan is a... So for me personally, Dylan has been a fountain of things to check out in Portland.
Portland lore.
Yes, especially as a recent transplant, which is funny because as a person who has... I feel like I have lived here my whole life, and I'm just now getting here. Like, in a good way. Like, I feel home.
Yeah.
I'm good. Obsessed with the city. What's happening at the ICE facility and in the national news is, like, absolutely heartbreaking. My new thing... So, I don't use Facebook, mm-hmm. but my new thing has been adding all of my relatives and people from my past and then just posting really beautiful pictures of Portland.
Yeah.
With, like not much sarcasm. Just, like... Beautiful day in Portland between Antifa meetings or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and it has been
well, I'm sorry
so
to hear
nice
that
for
you
me.
Were recently demoted from lieutenant to colonel or no way from lieutenant to private in the Antifa army.
Yeah. Someone showed up and took my membership card away, but they were late because they slept in.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's about it.
It's just it's unfair.
Yeah, Portland in the fall. First of all, absolutely gorgeous fall. This place, if this place is dying, then death is glorious.
Then Death Becomes Her, which is a movie you should check out anytime. 'Tis the Season, another great horror movie. Y'all, this has been Kickstand Comedy kicking off your weekend. Thanks for hanging out with us. We've had a blast. Go do some Halloween stuff.
Yes.
Get out there. Have fun. Some great comedy shows around. We talked about the Halloween Brain Rot Show and Mosh Pit Comedy at Kickstand Comedy. Go check out Susan Rice at Helium this weekend. Always something really fun, really funny, really original happening in Portland. And if you'd like to learn more about our nonprofit, Kickstand Comedy, head over to kickstandcomedy.org. Take a class. Improv, stand-up, sketch, clowning, all sorts of great stuff over there. Take a look. And go see a show. Go support. We live in a city with some amazing live arts. Go see a show of some sort. I went to Seance Party last night at the Siren Theater. It was awesome. Have fun. Be safe. Be spooky. John, thanks so much for hanging out.
Thank you, Dylan.
All right. We'll see y'all soon.